So this morning I'm going to talk about something that may make you uncomfortable. Just give you a fair warning as we get started. At least some of you might be a little uneasy this morning. But don't worry, this isn't a stewardship sermon. Not going to talk about politics, nothing like that. No, this morning we're going to talk about sharing our faith, which I know makes some of us a little uncomfortable. We're going to talk about how we tell people about Jesus. And for some of us, that's kind of a scary topic. But it is also the single most important thing that you will ever do in this life, is to tell someone who doesn't know who Jesus is what it means to follow Him and find new life through Jesus. Over the next several weeks, as I shared earlier at the beginning of the service, the outreach team is going to be hosting this discussion group over a book, Organic Outreach for Ordinary People. And it's going to be a time for several of us, hopefully quite a few of us, to get together and talk about, as we read this book, what it means to share our faith with the people that we know. And so that's just another little commercial for that. And if you want to learn more about that group that begins next Sunday, you can talk to Kim Schweitzer, you can talk to me, you can pick up one of the books in the office today if you want to be a part of that. But even if you're not going to be a part of that discussion group, you still have to listen this morning. Just before Jesus left earth, He gathered His disciples one more time, and He told them, He told us, as we read about it in Scripture, what our lives as His followers, what the church is supposed to be all about, what our mission is. And so we're going to read those words that Jesus spoke to His followers. They come right at the end of Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Every follower of Jesus has been given this mission statement. Make disciples. Invite people to join with us in following Jesus. That's what Jesus was talking about here. A disciple, if you're not familiar with that word, it's kind of a New Testament word. It means a student. It means a follower. And Jesus is our teacher or our master. He's the one that we follow. And so to make disciples means to invite other people to follow Jesus along with us. And these words that Jesus spoke tell us why the church exists. It gives us our purpose, the game plan for the Church of Jesus Christ. And for 2,000 years now, the church has been trying to live out this mission statement. And in fact, the church has been doing that, which is why all of us are here today, because somebody followed this mission statement and told you about Jesus. And whether that was 40 or 50 or 60 years ago, or whether it was just a year or two ago, someone told you about Jesus and you were compelled to follow Him. And so now it's our turn to tell other people about Jesus so that they also can come and join with us and follow Jesus. Of course, we talk a lot about missions in our church. Broadway is a missionary, a mission church. We believe in missions. We believe in world missions, and Al shared a little bit about that earlier in the service, that we support missionaries who go to faraway places and do things and reach people that we may never be able to do, but we also support mission work right here in our own community. And I know some of you are personally engaged. We talked about Habitat for Humanity earlier. Some of you actually go and help build homes here, or you serve with the rescue mission, or you serve with the Pregnancy Care Center, or you support mission work that's done right here on our own community. We are a missionary church, a church that believes in mission. And mission is those things, sending money out, sending prayers out, maybe even going ourselves. Last summer, a group of us went to Alaska Christian College and did real work there to support the work of that important ministry. That is mission work. But mission work is also sharing your faith with a family member. It's also loving your neighbors and doing it in Jesus' name. It's also telling the story of Jesus to a coworker or a student that you go to school with. It's sharing our faith right where we are, wherever God may send us. Our mission, as I often say it, our mission is to share the love and message of Jesus with the people around us. And that's the people right where we live. It's also people on the other side of the world who we may never meet, but we share the love and the message of Jesus with the people around us. And that's why we exist as a church. That's what we do. Now, I said this message might make you uncomfortable. And at this point, some of you might be worrying, where is God going to send me? Do I have to be a missionary that moves to Africa? Do I have to sell my possessions and go far away to some place I don't know? And the simple answer to that question is maybe. God may call some of us to do those sorts of things. God's calling in your life might be that you spend a period of time serving another culture. Some people are called in that way. But that is not all of what Jesus is saying to us at the end of Matthew's gospel. You see, Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." And those words may sound a lot like international missions. Make disciples of all nations. And there are people who go to faraway nations. But if we dig into these words that Jesus said just a little bit more, we see that what Jesus is saying is really the mission for all of us, not just for people who go to faraway places. You see, it's important that we understand this mission statement Jesus gave us is not intended. Certainly Jesus didn't want to scare any of us off. He didn't say these words so that 90% of the church would say, "Oh, well, that's not my calling, Jesus. That's only for those who go to Asia or Africa or go serve in Alaska. That's not for me." Jesus meant these words for all of us. And they might be a little uncomfortable, but as we dig into his words a little more, I think we'll understand that this is something that all of us can be a part of. All of us can do. The centerpiece of Jesus' statement is make disciples. In fact, in that verse, that long sentence that begins in verse 19, runs into verse 20, make disciples is the verb of that sentence. All the other words there are supporting that centerpiece, to make disciples. And so the first phrase there, "therefore go," could really be better translated "as you go," or even "wherever you go." In other words, the point that Jesus is making is not that you have to go somewhere to make disciples, but rather wherever you go, wherever God sends you, wherever you find yourself in this life, whether it's your own home, your own community, your own neighborhood, wherever you go, make disciples. Tell Jesus' story. Invite people to come and know and follow Jesus along with us. As Jesus' followers, we're all given this mission. And we live it out wherever it is that we go through life. And some people, that means far away. And other people, that means right here at home. For the rest of us, those who aren't called into a different culture, a different language group, far away from home, for the rest of us, we make disciples as we go to school, as we go to work, as we go to our family gatherings, as we spend time with neighbors, as we go throughout our community, as you go to the gym, as you go wherever you go in life, make disciples. Now that might still make you a little uncomfortable. Does that mean that everywhere I go, every day, everything that I do has to be about Jesus? Well, yeah, it kind of does mean that. It does mean that wherever you go, people see you and they know that you are a follower of Jesus. Which means everywhere you go, you need to be loving people. And everywhere you go, you need to be looking for opportunities to tell people about Jesus. Even if it's just sharing a story from your own faith, or maybe it's offering to pray for someone in need. But wherever you go, be in that process, that work of making disciples. Now let me share another, what I hope will be encouragement about what Jesus says here and about what it means to make disciples. And that is to say, there are no solo missionaries. You see, Jesus spoke these words to, first, the 11 disciples, 11 because Judas was no longer with them, but then those words were passed on to the rest of the church and on down through the generations. These are words spoken to us as the church, to all of us collectively, to we, the followers of Jesus Christ. You see, you don't share your faith, you don't make disciples alone. Sometimes it might feel that way, but we need to remember that we work together as a church, and even we work with other churches. It might be that you offer to pray for a friend or a neighbor, and they end up running into someone who goes to church somewhere else in town, and they share Jesus in their way with them, and someone else loves them in another way, and it might be the collective witness and ministry and love of a variety of different people all throughout the kingdom who eventually speak into that person's heart enough that they come to follow Jesus Christ. And you play your little part, and I might play my little part, but together, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we share the gospel and we help make disciples. You see, I have gifts that you may not have, and you have gifts that I don't have. And I might go places where you never go, and you may go places where I never go, and yet collectively we work together to invite people to follow Jesus. So with all of that as a long introduction, let me share just a little bit about how we make disciples. How do we invite people to follow Jesus? Our mission, again, is to share the love and message of Jesus. So let's begin right there. That we make disciples by loving people in need. By loving people in need and loving them right where they have their needs. And everybody that you know is in need. Everywhere that Jesus went, he saw people's needs and he responded to them. He would heal people. He would love people. He would share wisdom with people who couldn't find their way through life. Jesus helped people with their actual daily needs. And we need to follow his example in that. In the same way, we can pray for people in need. You can show compassion to a neighbor or to a coworker when you see that they're struggling with something in their lives. You can bring a meal to someone. Maybe you hear someone's not feeling well, and a bowl of soup might cheer them up. And you can minister to them in that way. Maybe you could just speak a kind word to someone who you know is hurting. And that kind word might open a door for them to want to talk more about your faith. We're good at doing these sorts of things for people in the church. And I see it all the time. When there's a need here in our church family, people pray, people call, people visit. People do practical things to help one another. We're good at doing that here in the church. So the question becomes, can we take those same ways of loving one another and direct them out to neighbors and friends and family members and coworkers and maybe even strangers, people that you've just met, and you see their needs, and maybe you can offer in the same way that we care for one another in the church, we can also reach out into the lives of people we don't see in church. and we can love them in those practical ways to meet their needs. So we start by loving people, by building those relationships, but then at some point you will find an opportunity to actually talk to someone about your faith. And again, this is where a lot of us get a little uncomfortable, but here's the point. We make disciples by telling Jesus' story to people who don't know it. And the truth is, there are a lot of people around us who don't know Jesus' story. Those of us who've been in the church all our lives, who've grown up here, we just take for granted, you know, we celebrate Easter, we know the story, Jesus died on the cross, He rose again, we know the story, we believe the story. But there are a lot of people, even right here in our own community, there are a lot of people who don't really know what all the fuss about Jesus is all about. And they don't know what He did for us. There are a lot of people who don't even own a Bible. And that might be remarkable for us. I would imagine if you walk through my home, there are dozens of Bibles. You walk through my office, you look around the church, we've got hundreds of Bibles here. But there are people who you know and who you live near who have never in their life opened a Bible. I have a friend I went to college with. His name is Corey. Corey was a kind of a computer nerd back in the 90s. And he used that computer nerd ability to become a missionary. And Corey today lives, we get emails from Corey and his family once a month or so. They live somewhere in the Middle East. We don't know where because they can't really tell us for safety reasons. But Corey writes computer applications that help translate the Bible from English or even Greek and Hebrew into other languages so that people in those cultures that speak those other languages can read the Bible, can read the New Testament, can read the story of Jesus. And these are cultures in which the Bible has never been translated into that language. So can you imagine people who've lived generation after generation after generation and no one in their entire family history has even heard the name of Jesus. And now through the work of these missionary groups, the Bible is being translated and offered to them, and they're beginning at that very most basic level of sharing Jesus with them. Even in our culture, here in America, here where people speak English, here where Bibles are everywhere, there are still people who have never really heard the story of Jesus Christ. And they don't know that He lived 2,000 years ago. They don't know that He healed people. And they don't know what He taught. They don't know that He died on the cross. They don't know that He rose again. And there are people in your life, who don't know who Jesus is. Now, the truth is, it's not their fault. They don't know about Jesus because no one's ever told them about Jesus. And for too long, the church in America has thought and acted like, well, if people want to know Jesus, our doors are open, they can come find us. Here we are, Sunday morning, come on in. And the attitude of the church has been, if people don't know who Jesus is, it's their own fault. Because here we are. Church on every corner, right? Well, the attitude of the church needs to change. See, there's now plenty of evidence in our modern world that most people outside of the church, most people who don't go to church, they're not looking for Jesus. And they aren't going to start looking for Jesus until people inside the church begin to tell them who Jesus is and the difference that He can make in their lives. And so as you think about the people you know, maybe family members or friends or neighbors, and you might think, boy, I wish they would come to know Jesus. They aren't going to come to know Jesus until someone like you or me or someone who's in church this morning reaches out and tells them the story. And they aren't in church and they don't follow Jesus first and foremost because no one has ever shared. No one has ever shared Jesus with them in a way that would draw them into faith. And so that attitude in the church needs to change. And we need to start taking Jesus out of the church and into the world and start telling His story, even in the most basic ways. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus wants to give you new life. Even if you start just with that, and then eventually can offer them a New Testament, eventually can invite them to read Mark's Gospel or John's Gospel or wherever you want to send them. But let's take this one step further now. You see, we need to learn how to reach beyond the walls of the church, but that does not mean that we leave church behind. We reach outside of the church to reach people who don't know Jesus so that then ultimately we can draw those people into the church. We share the love and message of Jesus. That's our mission. We share Jesus' love and message for two reasons. One is so that people can come to know that Jesus is their Savior, so they can be saved, as we say. But also so that we can draw people into the life of the church. And the order in which that happens doesn't matter. There are some people, and I would imagine this is the more common thing that happens these days, some people who will be invited to church, and they will come in and they will watch us worship, or maybe even join in and begin to sing along and worship, and maybe even begin to pray and get involved even in ministries and start showing up and enjoy fellowship and start doing things that we do in the church. And then later, they will come to know that Jesus is their Savior. And they'll open up their hearts and find the new life that we have found. Others, and this is maybe less common these days, others will hear about Jesus and pray to receive Him and come to faith, and then they'll find their way into the church. But either way, followers of Jesus belong in the church. And so that needs to be part of our mission as well. We make disciples by inviting people to church, by inviting people to join us here. People often ask, how do we help the church grow? And we want the church to grow. How do we do that? I think it begins with the people who are in the church who love Jesus enough and who love the church enough that we want to share what we have found with others. We want to share it. If you really love something, if you know that that thing makes your life better, then don't you want to share it with the people around you? Because why would you keep such a good thing secret? Why would you keep it to yourself? Have you ever recommended a new restaurant to a friend? Maybe you go somewhere you've never been and you run into somebody. Oh, you've got to try this place. They've got the best burgers, whatever it is, in town. You've got to go try it out. This place is great. Have you ever had that kind of conversation about the church? You've got to try this place. They've got Jesus there. It's great. It'll change your life. And the more we love the church and the more we love Jesus, the more we're going to want to share what we have found with people who haven't yet found it. We know how good this place is. We now know how good it is to have friendships and love. We know how good it is to gather in Bible studies and fellowship groups and Sunday mornings for worship. We know what it is to grow in our faith together and to find people here who share values and interests and friendships. So who do you know who could benefit from what you have found in this church? And of course, the best thing that we share with others is Jesus. Who do you know who could benefit from a relationship with Jesus Christ the way you benefit from knowing Him? So we share Jesus and we share the church with people who don't yet know Him. We invite people to walk with us through life and through faith. Jesus gave us this mission statement to make disciples, to share His love, to share His message with the people around us, to invite people to join with us in a life of faith and join with us in our church family. And at some point in your life, and I said this before, but it bears repeating, at some point in your life, someone cared about you enough to tell you about Jesus. And maybe it was your parents long ago, or a Sunday school teacher, or a pastor, or a friend in college, or whoever it was. Well, now it's our turn to reach the next generation of believers. Now it's our turn to share the faith that we have found, to share the Jesus who's changed our lives with people who don't yet know Him. And that is not beyond our reach. It's not impossible. It might be a little uncomfortable. But together, as a church family, we can work together to invite other people to follow Jesus. We can follow this mission that He's given us. And we can help make a life-changing impact on the world around us. I believe that we can do that, and I hope that we all are committed to join in that mission and to see people come to faith. You see, I believe, and wouldn't it be amazing, that each one of us could reach one person this year. That's not too much to ask. One person who you could love in Jesus' name, one person that you could tell the story of Jesus to, one person that you could invite to church. And if we could all do that, one person this year, imagine the impact that would have on God's kingdom and how many lives would be touched and changed through Jesus Christ. So with that faith, with that hope in mind, let's bow our heads and give thanks. Gracious Lord, we do give You thanks for Jesus, who we have found as our Savior, and Lord, You've invited us to share Jesus with others. And so I pray that You would help us to take this mission to heart, to love people well, to share Your story with others. And Lord, I pray that we would begin to see those who come to faith, and that we could celebrate when family members or friends or neighbors bow their knees before Jesus. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your love. We thank You for the new life that we have found in Jesus Christ. And I pray that You would help us to share that good news with others. We ask this in Jesus' name, our Savior's name. Amen.